Daniel.
James, what's going on, man?
Silverstone, 75th anniversary, Curdy.
Curtis is on the mic this week as well.
Yeah, if
I am.
Yeah, we put the mic in for him. Sorry, bro.
Oh, man, what a week, huh?
Like, people want to hear the big fella's reaction of the liveries. We've got the reaction of the liveries.
We do.
You know, and I don't know if I'm convinced if he's changed his tune. I don't know what's going on with him, but you have to sit and wait, and we'll hear it.
We will, we will. Also, we got a special guest this week, KP. Welcome, KP. Hey, boys.
He's one of the big dogs of Benzina Stables.
Yeah, you could almost argue that he's Mr. Benzina.
Yeah, I think he is.
You know what I mean? It's a tough battle between him and Luke. There's nowhere to be found, though. But thanks for dropping in, KP. It's been nice seeing you.
Yeah, hey, yeah, boys. Yeah. FC KP. What's been going on, mate?
Not much, man. Just glad MotoGP's back, you know?
How good was it?
Loved it.
It was a good weekend. One thing that was surprising for me, though, was the crowds.
Nowhere.
And I think it must be because of the Olympics. We had heaps of messages on that as well.
Yeah, I did see that. It's a good shout.
Because it's only in France.
But let's be honest. Are the Olympics really better than MotoGP?
Well, I don't think the MotoGP has weird trannies pretending to do the Last Supper and all that bullshit. Oh, so
no, you're looking at it wrong, mate. Brazilian and fucking beach volleyball, mate. That's where it's at.
Oh, you know what, Curdy? I've seen you like a few Instagram reels of Brazilian beach volleyball.
The man's a fiend. He's sending them all to me as well. He's like, Dan, how good's this? I'm like, whoa, Curtis.
Why aren't you sending me anything? You got to set me up, fuck you.
That's so good.
Fucking bullshit, man.
Yeah, it's a good point, though. Like, it makes sense. But sure, no, it can't be that much. It can't take away that much people from GP 75th anniversary.
Maybe
special liveries. You're back from summer break.
I know. The special liveries and the 75th anniversary has got to be.
Come on.
Maybe Silverstone F1 was there not that long ago. Maybe it's too soon of a turnaround as well with the Olympics.
Well, that's why they're moving it to. Oh, no, but.
Yeah, they're moving it to March. May. Oh,
May.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Sorry, May.
Which is interesting.
Mm.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully for better weather as well. But the weather was pretty good.
It did hold out.
For the first time ever, I think. In the British Grand Prix.
It spat a little bit, though, on warm-up lap for both Moto3 and MotoGP.
Yeah, that's all right. Hey, before we kick off any further.
Just some formalities.
We're just going to do some formalities. So thank you again to MJ Trading Cards. Mitch has grown it into Australia's biggest and best sports card breakers. We have an offer to all the listeners today. Use code MSR15 for 15% off your first order. The website is mjtradingcards.com.au. MJ Create Trading Cards does on average 10 to 15 breaks a day, Daniel Curdy, breaking the latest NBA, NFL and more. I know they're doing some F1 stuff as well. It's cool. So jump on board. It's a really, really cool guys. Sell some out on Instagram. I think we reshare some of their stuff as well. But yeah cool guys, that's for sure.
Yeah, they get around them. They get around us and they love it. So
yeah, we love it. And we love different. Them. It's cool. What,
you know, working in partnerships.
Yeah, that's right.
Good bunch of guys.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've actually been getting a lot of other card breaks since following them and doing a bit with them. And people go absolutely bonkers for it, man.
Man, it's crazy. I was watching this one guy and that's like he started doing it through COVID, buying and selling baseball cards. As you know, in baseball,
that's
like
a different level.
It's crazy. And then he's had to quit his full-time job and that's all he does and just makes a bank on it. Like, it's crazy.
It's a dream.
It's crazy. And listeners as well, we have our next special ep Patreon that will be getting filmed later on this month. So at the end of this month, watch out. We will have our next special episode. And
not to be missed.
It's not to be missed. And it looks like we're going with a bit of a theme every time. But we've got a theme and it's what we're trying to do is we're trying to develop MotoGP, I guess you could say, in a certain brand. And we want to bring them back. And I guess that's all I want to say.
Yeah.
But we're bringing them back.
100%. We're bringing them back in a massive, massive way.
We're going to work out a way. We're going to work out a plan, a 10-point plan on how we're going to bring this brand back.
And we're going to be the faces of it.
We're going to be the faces.
Hey, you never know. We might be on their bike.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Jeez, you never know. So watch out for that. It's gonna be a cracker.
We're just really bridging the gap from motorcycle racing in the real world, aren't we? We're just bringing it together.
That's what we're here to do.
Man.
And we just want to see everyone succeed. And We have the answers. And those
we do.
The answers is on a couch, a 3-hour podcast, and probably 12 beers.
Minimum.
Gertie, your mic's not working.
He's putting up the wrong mic.
What are you saying, Gertie? What? You're on mic 4. Can you
hear me? No. All right. There we go.
He's pressing me button. Leaving he's our tech guy.
Come on, you're our producer. What are you doing?
No, mate. Got to miss a button here and there. This is all strictly platonic. We'll leave it at that.
Dan, what's our results?
Oh, where do we start, man? Where do we start? What a bloody weekend of racing.
Good to be back. Jeez.
Before we get into results, can I just talk about, and I don't think it's been talked about enough, and of course he came out and said it too after the sprint race, Aleix Espargaró's lap.
The qualifying lap?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That was rapid, man.
I had him in my top five for a reason.
That was a very smart play by you.
I almost picked all five. Who dropped out right at the end? Who got fifth? It was Digia. He must have pipped Aleix Espargaró.
He did.
And I had, and that was my only one wrong. But yeah, cold condition.
Did you have an A in there?
Yeah, I had Bastianini in my top three. I had him third and he won.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah. Because for now, we'll talk about it more, but GP24s, I think, is just a bridge above everyone else. So I'm always going to put Martin, Anaya and Bagnaia in it. But yes, Aleix Espargaró, crack a lap. Deserved pole because of that livery at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the commentator said it as well. Like, the guy still got, like, hunger in him. He's still not just resting on his laurels, I guess. Like, he's still...
He's not doing a parade lap, that's for sure. He's still throwing good. Everything at it.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good to see him up there.
I'm going to miss Aleix Espargaró. Like, for some reason, like, I'm like his number one ticket holder now. I'm wanting to do so well for so... I think... I don't know what it is. I just like him. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, right. There's no reason to hate him, I guess.
No, there's no reason to hate him. There's definitely no reason to hate him at all.
Like, he's a bit of a hothead and... You know, it's broke his finger thing. Slapping an AGV, but you know, that's all right. A bit weak.
Morbidelli deserves it these days anyway. Dude's nowhere. And he took out, who did he take out? Took out Bez. Someone. Yeah. Oh, Bez takes himself out anyway.
Straight up. Yeah, it was going to happen anyway. So really damn if you do, damn if you don't.
That's right. That's right. But it was but a crack a lap.
It was. It was unbelievable, man. And it was funny to see them in the van.
Yeah.
After on the way to the sprint podium or after it. On the way. And he's like... They're talking about the race and this and that. He's like, why is no one talking about my lap?
That's a good line.
You know, it was really, really good. So, but yeah, sprint race results. Is this the race or sprint? Sprint. Here we go. Top 10. Anaya Bastianini, Jorge Martin, Aleix Espargaró, Brad Binder, Pedro Acosta, Alex Marquez, Jack Miller, Maverick Vinales, Fabio De Gianantonio, and Miguel Oliveira. Your top 10 in the sprint.
Step bro.
Not a bad race, that.
It was good.
It was pretty decent. Pecco, 4 out of the last 6. DNF.
Didn't see that coming with Bagnaia crashing.
Too hot. Pace was too hot.
Yeah. Tires couldn't
handle it.
Just pushed him out to no man's land, didn't it?
Yeah. Looked like he was on an odd part of the track to be at too.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Silverstone's one of those tracks where Sepang's another one where you can run different lines in the corners. It's always interesting to watch.
It is.
And then so sometimes you think, oh, it's just their normal line, but I reckon he was just running a bit hot and then just hit the dirty part of the track.
I think so. No one seemed to have gone out there.
Yeah.
And it just tucked straight away because he put in a blistering lap.
You did.
That lap before and then... In typical Pecco fashion on a Saturday.
I know. It's
just throwing it down
Saturday
the road,
fraud watch, you know? Seriously.
But Bastianini, ultimate wingman, taking points and
picked up the
helping
pieces.
Him hold the lead. But, yeah, it was unbelievable. And then Marquez throwing it down the road as well.
Standard as well.
You know?
Standard. Got a lot.
Same thing on a Saturday. Worst weekend for him, I think he said.
He's just had a stinker the whole weekend.
He did.
I don't know what it is. We'll talk about him because he's on the cusp of fraud watch, Mark Marquez, at the moment.
Dude,
it pains me to say it, but he's on the cusp of fraud watch.
I read it somewhere too during the week that, after the weekend, he was riding that bike like it was the Honda. And you could tell because he just wasn't near it.
Yeah,
he didn't look threatening at all this weekend.
And he, even in the main race, he had a bit of clear air where he could have chased someone down and just didn't have the pace.
Yeah.
But, like, again, 20, 25. If Marc Marquez doesn't win the world title next year, he's on a GP25 factory Ducati, I'm putting a line through him.
Look, I think it's going to be hard for him to win it. But if he doesn't place in the top three comfortably, if he just scratches into the top three
next year,
then I would say you can put a line through him.
Yeah.
I think winning the championship, that's a bit harsh. I'll actually stick up for him here.
Oh, my God. What? Are we in the twilight zone?
I'll wait till I've got something later for a result from another race that you'll freak out.
Oh, my God.
But all jokes aside, I think... That is a lot of pressure. Yes, it's Marc Marquez, and he's obviously super talented, 8-time world champion, whatever it is. But I think that's a lot of pressure when you've got these hungry riders.
So hungry.
You know, Pecco's at the top of his game. Martin's at the top of his game. Hopefully, Bez turns around next year on an Aprilia. Bastianini keeping his form up if he can carry it on into next year. Acosta's got a year under his belt.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know,
it's true, but I don't know with Mark, like, and is this the first weekend I've thought, and I'm an everyone fan, as I've stated, but obviously I'm still a big Marquez fan, but it's the first time I've ever thought, I don't know, man, I don't know if he's got it. The only thing that saves him still is he's on a GP23, and I'd like to know his times compared to Bagnaia last year, because he's on the same bike or less of a bike than Bagnaia.
Yeah, I suppose.
And if he's, like, let's just say 3 seconds ahead of Bagnaia's race winning time last year, then okay, maybe it's different. But then there's so many variables, like tires, track temperature.
That's right. It's almost impossible to do it direct.
Exactly. It's still a silly thing to say, but there's probably still a little bit of substance in it, you know, at the same time.
It's a better indicator than what this current thing is, for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, it's going to be interesting, man. And even Pastianini's come out and said, you know, it's a silly decision that they've gotten rid of us too, especially now. It's heating up.
I know.
Pastianini's only 49 points behind.
I know.
And I read on, I think it's more Moto News or something, and this was a great point. If Martin and Bagnaia are going to keep going at each other, he's just going to come in, pick up the pieces. It's very, very unlikely.
Fix your qualifying, man.
If he can fix that and qualify better, there is no reason why he can't sweep up the pieces here and win the championship.
Yeah. Would you say 49 points?
It's only 49 points. And yes. If you got a 30-point lead, that's a lot, but with the sprint now, that's nothing.
Yeah, it's all right.
You have a bad weekend, you could lose a championship lead, and you could be behind by 15, 20 points.
Yeah, so as you said, Martin, Bagnaia can take each other out. And yeah, I feel like we're getting into the races now where, Bastianini steps up a little bit. He's had some good results at Misano. He's not bad in the Indonesian circuits, Sepang.
Yep.
Phillip Island's always a wild card. You never know who's going to win. Yeah, literally, you could just throw a blanket over the field and you wouldn't know.
I feel like that's the hardest one to pick out of all the races this year. And it always has been. Obviously, when Casey was around, you could just pencil him in. He's the master. He's Mr. Phillip Island.
Yeah, early Rossi days, he won like 5 on the trot or something like that. But that was about it.
But then once, like, Lorenzo was there, Marquez came through, Pedrosa and all those kind of guys. Yeah, Iannone as well. Can't pick it.
Yeah, Alex Rins won 1 year.
2019.
Cal Crutchlow, I think, won 1 year. What a shit house result that was when we were there.
Was that when he was on
Honda?
Honda or Ducati?
LCR Honda.
He led on the Ducati and he stacked going into Miller.
Standard.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, I think I'm just guessing, but let's just say you're right.
I think it was that.
Standard Cal Crashlow. What's our main race results?
Main race results. Anea Bastianini doing the double. Congratulations. Jorge Martin, Pecco Bagnaia, Marc Marquez, Fabio De Gianantonio, Aleix Espargaró, Alex Marquez, Marco Bezzecchi, Pedro Acosta, and Franco Morbidelli.
Yeah, snuck into the 10th.
Not bad for a double long lap.
Yeah. Luca Marini done with tyre pressure problems.
Ah, cost him a point.
Poor guy. I'm so happy for Bastianini. As you know, I'm a massive Beast fan.
You're a big, big fan of the Beast.
And if I could pick anyone to win the world title this year, it would be Bastianini.
It'd be him?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I could have anyone. I remember seeing you after GP, was it not last year, it was the year before, when you came back to work and you're like, dude, met Bastianini, he's like, he's got it.
He's, you know when they're talking about aura at the moment? Dude's got aura.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. He's just got something. He's a cool guy.
He is, yeah. I bumped into him at the back of the pits last year, fortunately, and he was really, really nice. And you are 100% right. You can feel when you're around someone that's just, you know.
When they just got it.
It's got something special.
A bit of a superstar in them.
Yeah, exactly. Not our kind of special, but the good kind.
Not acoustic.
Yeah, yeah.
When you meet, Taka Nakagami, you just think he's a race marshal.
Yeah, that's right.
No aura about him whatsoever.
Safety bike.
Oh, but, that's funny.
Yeah, it was a good. I thought the main race was really, really good as well.
No, it was a good race. It was spread out a bit, I guess. But, you know, what happened? I can't even remember what happened. But Martin just ran wide, didn't he? And Bastianini just passed him.
Pretty much. But Martin came out and said, look, even if I didn't make that mistake, the result was going to be the same.
He was gonna pass him.
He was catching him at a rate of knots, man. And, yeah, he was just brilliant on those tyres. And credit to Martin, too. He pushed Bagnaia all the way.
Mm.
And somehow he actually kept his tyres, I thought.
I can't believe Bagnaia.
Yeah, he dropped off a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't know what happened, and he's come out and said he wants to learn what was wrong for that weekend and how they can improve. But smart, just settle, take the points.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Learn from Saturday.
Yeah. He's the best at that.
He is, but his tyres dropped, and if there had been another lap, he would have finished off the podium.
Marquez would have got him.
Marquez would have caught him, I think. Great midfield battle.
Did you and did you see the meme? Bad Moto GP memes, but that was like
Rossi.
I want Rossi versus Marquez, and it's like, no, we've got Rossi versus Marquez at home. And it's Digia versus Alex Marquez.
Did you see the photo comparison? You know where Rossi's like telling Marquez, you know, come with me.
Then
Digia did the same thing, tapped his ass, like, you know, follow me. And I think that was a fair point. And Marquez should not have. They battled a little bit too much, and that cost Digia, because I think Digia really had the pace to be on the podium.
Mm.
He is criminally underrated.
Criminally underrated. We've spoken about this a lot.
We really have, and I think people really need to start taking him more seriously. Now I can comfortably say he's wiping the floor with Bez.
Running rings around him.
Him and Marc Marquez are the only ones that seem to be really, really able to ride that GP23.
Alex Marquez, give him credit. He's come hard the last few rounds. He's doing all right.
Do you know who he reminds me of?
Mm.
Zarco.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mr. Consistency.
Yeah.
Mid-pack.
Yep.
Take the points.
Yep.
Chill out.
Yep.
He's not over, you know, like...
He's not like podium threat every weekend.
Nah, but there might be a race where you go, oh, shit.
He's not bad. I think... He's been a great pickup, and he's
really proven his worth. Once he left Honda and that sort of shadow of his brother, people probably forgot about him a little bit as well. I think he's done a stellar job at keeping that bike upright and putting it into some really good positions. Yeah. And he's reaped the rewards. Like, he had a sprint win.
Yeah.
You know, he's had a couple podiums.
He's holding his own and deserves that seat, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's one you can comfortably say he deserves to be where he is. And another good race.
Mm.
You know, dropped a little bit at the end.
But yeah, as you said, Digia, man, like he's criminally underrated. Just, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know where to from here. Obviously, what's his name? Tardozzi.
Tardozzi, has
got a big mouth and, you know, just let it all out.
Digia on a 25 and Franco on a 24.
Which is the right move.
Yeah.
That's the right 100%
move. 100% it is. You know, unless Franco comes out and pulls something out of the bag at the back end of the year, which is highly unlikely.
Mm.
But I think that's a smart play, you know.
Digia deserves that bike. He deserves to have that factory bike.
Digia almost deserves a factory seat somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. He signed for VR46. No, he's about to sign for VR46.
Oh, I think it's done and dusted by the sounds of things.
But him on a factory bike, that would be awesome. It's good that they have three factory bikes.
Yeah,
it evens everything up.
I really like that.
It's really good because finally Morbidelli is not falling up.
Still is.
Yeah, a little bit. But it's nice to see. And it's going to even out the field. Obviously, there's going to be four factory Yamahas and Hondas, but you know they're trying to get their way up, and the KDMs. So KDMs especially, because someone like Bastianini could win the first three races and he's technically on a full factory bike. They're giving him everything.
Yeah,
and they've come out and said that.
100%, man. And I think they're playing it really smart. So next year is going to be a huge season, and we'll obviously dive into that when it comes around and towards the end of this year. But yeah, man, Digi, great stuff. Love the helmet.
Yeah,
it actually looked really good. I love how he did the reverse sun and moon rather than having it yellow, had it black. Underwhelming on the livery, not his fault.
Yeah,
but yeah, man, it was crazy. Elias did well to hold on. Just dropped off a cliff a little bit.
Yeah,
Maverick was nowhere though.
Look, I can't keep saying it. I cannot keep saying it that Maverick Vinales will forever only be on Fraud Watch.
Yeah, I just thought cool attempts. It's perfect for Aprilia.
Who picked him to win? Was it you that picked him to win or Tom?
Tom. I had Pecco to win.
That's shameful.
Oh, I think I had
Tom.
Maverick third.
On the podium. Yeah, so. You both had him in your top five. I laughed when I saw it. I laughed, Curtis.
I think a lot of people did in the comments too.
Laughed. He's an ultimate Fraud Watch, and people are going to keep sticking up for him. And I actually still like Maverick Vinales. I was like making fun of him. But you can't be 12th or whatever he was. Like,
it's not on that bike. Not on that bike. You know. Yeah, you had Franco Morbidelli come past, and he had a double long lap.
There you go.
But like I said, credit to him, man. That's a fair ride to come from a double long lap.
Yeah, no. Morbidelli's like doing all right. He's actually had a good start to the second half of the season, just about, besides wiping out Bezzecchi. He's had a few good rounds last few rounds. But Maverick Vinales, man, like
nowhere.
He's not winning on a KDM. I'm putting it out there. Everyone jumped on the bandwagon when he won at Austin, and you know, just everything lined up, all the pieces just fit together, and he won. And I was like, no, I'm not accepting this. And now he's 12th in Silverstone. Everyone's forgotten about
him. Put an asterisk next to that one.
And you know what even annoys me more is like, you gotta ride for the livery, Daniel.
Yeah, I know.
Got a ride for the livery.
You reckon that was the best one for the weekend?
Probably it was the best one for the weekend. Before we get the liveries, have we done that MJ Trading Cards performance of the week?
We haven't, but I think it goes without saying. MJ Trading Cards performance is an A Bastianini.
One and one. Can't go past it.
Done the double. First time on a sprint podium.
Yep.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, for him, I know. Crazy, right?
Absolutely insane. Had a brilliant weekend. Put the bike in third during the qualifying session. Solid all-round weekend for him. You know what? 100%. I think for him, there's obviously no pressure now.
Yeah.
He's got a contract for next year.
Chip on his shoulder.
Yep. He's not fighting for his Ducati seat like he was with Martin.
Yep.
He can now relax and just go and enjoy himself.
That's awesome.
And
maybe that's what he needs.
I think he was absolutely brilliant. And he's just really nice to watch on the bike, the way he rides, the way he lined him up and carves through. It was unreal. And what I did like, once he passed Martin, I think it was the next lap, he was coming out of one of the corners and his bike was just bucking sort of everywhere coming out. I was like, oh, man's a menace. Like, he's not slowing down.
He's a little bit of the best of both worlds. He can be super aggressive and he can ride like a bit of a maniac.
Yeah.
But then just still be smooth as butter and then just carve through the field.
Bit Lorenzo-like, you reckon?
Yeah, a little bit of Lorenzo-like.
A little bit of that.
Just a bit skinnier.
Just a tiny bit.
Speaking of cheeseburger Lorenzo, I don't know if everyone's been following his socials. I follow it very closely.
Religiously.
Yeah. Like, I'm all over him 24/7. I constantly refresh his Instagram page just to wait for something that new to come up. But we've been talking a lot of cheeseburgers about Lorenzo, poking a bit of fun at him. He's been doing weird videos, Daniel, of him working out shirtless.
I reckon he's caught
weights.
On.
I think he might be a bit insecure about his body. Next time, have a look at it. If you're not following Jorge Lorenzo, definitely follow him because he keeps posting shirtless photos and videos of him working out, doing some shoulder presses, him and his sister.
I'm pretty sure he put a cheeseburger as the caption one day.
Yeah, it's a bit of an FU to Motorsport Republic.
It's a bit of a jab at us.
Well, you know what? We know what we're doing. We're making him healthier.
It's just good for him, really.
That's right. But I still prefer fat cheeseburger. But I don't know. He must be listening because he's on a workout rampage lately.
Yeah, he's almost number one ticket holder, I think.
Yeah, he could be. He reshared us.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a big thing.
Pick up your game, everyone else.
Yeah, that's right.
A couple of the main guys have slacked off a little bit.
Yeah, what are you boys doing?
Come on, boys.
Actually, Lachlan Boyle, he
doesn't stop, but he loves it.
And he stuck up for me and he said, yep, Maverick Vinales is on fraud watch, never again. So thank you for that.
Yeah, well done, Lachie. That's fair. Someone's got to stick up for Jim.
Yeah, that's not many. Basically, Lachie and your mum, and that's about it.
I can't remember.
Jack Milner, no contract.
Dude, it's
no contract anywhere.
It's worrying, man.
He can't be. He's got to have a place somewhere. I still think
Moto Go Yamaha.
Yeah, get him on. Get him on with Brian Staring in Paris. But like, he deserves a seat in
Superbikes
or something.
It'll work out for him. He has to be in a world class series.
Yeah,
there's no way that he can go to a BSB or an AMA.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Dude's only 29.
He's still got a lot to offer.
Development. I wonder if they'll put him as a test rider.
I think
a GP rider.
Like, I think someone will snatch him up for that for sure.
That's a great bet for someone like Honda.
Couple wild cards.
Get him as a Honda. They've got a leash.
They can have more than one.
True. They got the deep pockets for it.
Yeah, that's right. And there'd be no
Yamaha.
Exactly. Then there's no. I would assume there's no cap to what you pay your test rider.
Nah, no chance.
So
no chance. And you know what? No, I don't know. Like Aleixia Spargo, I don't know about Cal Crutchlow. Is Cal Crutchlow a bit of a Stefan Bradl in the test rider world? Like, what's he doing?
Not much. I think he's injured or something.
He's always injured. What's he going to do? Just test how to crash a bike?
That's a bit of an odd one. And remember, going back to Cheeseburger, they had a little spat over Twitter because Cal Crutchlow stole his test ride. And then Spargo stood up for Crutchlow saying, like, Lorenzo, you're a flog.
He did. I'm standing up for Cheeseburger, but whatever. The man doesn't miss.
How can you... All right. Cal Crutchlow is probably one of the nicest guys, if you meet him, I would assume.
Snubbed me for a photo once.
Oh, did he? Nah, stuff him. He can go shake hands. Dixon. But why would you take Cal Crutchlow over Jorge Lorenzo?
I'll be picking Lorenzo. He knows the Yamaha back to front and he's a multiple world champion.
Even if the dude was telling you to get stuffed and the bike was shit every day, you'd still keep him on.
Maybe Cheeseburger wasn't passing like the weight limits of a MotoGP bike, so they couldn't develop it because it was too heavy.
Alpine Stars didn't have enough leather.
They didn't have enough O for go across it. not enough O's.
It's crazy, man. I don't know what he's doing. He might be a little bit of a Stefan Bradl.
He 100%. I think he is. Cheeseburger's a type of guy where he would be a test rider and put a number one plate in the front of the bike.
Oh, dude, no doubt. I'm pretty sure he wore a gold helmet still. Come on, man. Do you expect anything less?
The number one earpiece?
Oh, number one test rider.
Yeah, he is.
You know? But, yeah, I don't know with Crutcho, but that's a great shout. Like, Jack to Yamaha.
Well, I'm saying Jack as well, I guess they've had similar careers, you can argue, which is fair enough, but Jack's got more recent experience on a Ducati and a KTM.
100%. They're good friends as well. You could put a word in for him as well. Like,
true. It's not a bad shout.
It's not a bad shout at all. Like I said, there's no way he ends up in a local series in whatever country. He's got to be somewhere. I think his first priority would obviously be to be racing.
Mm.
So if a World Superbike gig came up, I would maybe think he would take that over a test ride.
You think so?
But who knows? But who knows? And now they get wild cards left, right, and centre. Especially if he's going to Yamaha or Honda, they probably get more.
Definitely. I know they do.
So they get more track time. Like, they got a Misano test, I think, coming up soon.
They do.
So he's still going to have a lot of time on the bike.
Yep. It's all right. And you don't have to be a MotoGP world champion to be a good test rider. You look at Michele Pirro or Lorenzo Salvadori, they're great test riders and have helped develop those bikes, you know. And then
Danny Pedrosa wasn't a world champion.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. Well, Danny.
Jonas Folger, he was a test rider. He's still a test rider for KTM.
He got herpes or something, but doesn't he?
Something weird.
Can't use his leathers.
One good race result and that was it.
Yeah.
But no, you are 100% right. That these guys don't have to be race winners in the class or have ever made it to the class to understand a bike. So.
Yeah. Some people, I think some people just have it more than others, obviously. But I think Jack might have it. So anyway, he can pass on a lot of data. And I think that's the main thing.
100%. We've seen when he went to KTM how much they improved on their launches.
Yeah, exactly right.
And I'm sure that's something he brought across from Ducati. And I think a lot of people don't give him enough credit for his mind and how good he really is with that.
Good point.
So put some respect on the man. I was thinking about it the other night. I really feel sorry for him.
Yeah, it's rough, man. It is rough. It sucks.
Like he must just be in a world of hurt.
Like there's got to be a contract somewhere. Obviously there isn't, but... You know, somewhere in, I don't know, maybe it's just all too late.
Maybe, man. I mean, who knows? We could sit here and speculate about that for an hour. But, you know, we're not going to. We broke the news and then 2 days later we put a clip up and literally 2 minutes later it goes, oh, Jack wasn't offered a contract.
That's so funny.
You know, it is what it is.
On better, more lighter topics... MotoGP liveries.
Dude, what'd you think overall?
Loved them. I loved the response on our power rankings of the liveries.
Went off.
It went crazy. I've got another one coming up.
Oh, dear.
Another special power rankings on something different.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell the people yet.
That's cool. Tell me after the pod.
Yeah. I got it. I'll put it up maybe next week. Yeah, anyway, loved it. I thought everyone's... was good in their own way, I guess you could say. The only disappointment for me was VR46.
That was terrible.
It fucking sucked. Their leathers look good.
The leathers looked mad.
And their shirt that you can buy. Did you see their old school button-up shirts?
No,
they released? Oh, they had like the old school button-up shirt you can buy on their website.
That's cool.
Like $200 Aussie bucks.
Oh, yeah. It's like buying these redone world championship tees.
Yeah. They're like $300.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. How did we go? How did we go with our predictions? Because I think we did
okay.
I think we did half right.
We got Ducati. We did say it was either going to be Superbikes or 2003.
Yep. So and yeah, it was 2003. But the too many sponsors, and I didn't like the black Lenovo. Just ruined it. If they took that out, it would have been good.
They could have left like the riding Lenovo. Yeah. Just take that, you know, the blocks away from it.
Yeah.
I loved the red though.
The red was cool.
Seeing it on track and on board footage and that bright red, to see that back on a racetrack was just amazing.
Yeah.
It's the only color Ducati should be at a race.
I agree.
But I'll give us a tick for that because we did call it.
Yeah.
Yamaha, you did call it white red.
Looked awesome.
Looked brilliant.
And I loved how Monster, because they're normally the big, big sponsor, they kind of took a step back.
Yeah, just on the front of the fairing.
Yeah, and on the bottom. It looked great with the yellow number, the white and red.
Yeah, I thought it was sick.
And I love what Quartararo said. He's like, we're not fast, but at least we look good.
Oh, is that what he came said? Out and what said. A legend. That was awesome. Yeah, so that one, well done. We picked that. What do we got? KTM, we said the blue logo.
Yeah.
But we did say like we'll the Gary McCoy style. Yeah. So we didn't get that one right, unfortunately, but close-ish enough.
I
didn't mind it.
I thought it looked good.
Very 80s KTM dirt bikes is what I first thought when I seen it.
Yeah.
But I thought it looked good.
Nah, I liked it. It stood out and, you know, it was cool. It was cool.
It was.
I was a fan. It kind of looked like that Suzuka F1 Red Bull Verstappen.
It really did. That's a good point. It did look good. Aprilia, we said the cube in black.
Yeah.
We were well off.
How do we not think of Chesterfield though?
I think we were very narrow-minded and we just thought about GP bikes or like 500cc bike.
True.
Because once they released Chesterfield, I thought, oh, they could have gone for Rossi on the 250 or Lorenzo.
True.
Like they could have had so many different
things.
But it did make sense. Four-time champion on that Chesterfield colorway. Aleix Espargaró running the helmet as well.
Yeah. The numbers look good. The numbers on the side, on the back.
Hands down, the best one of the... In my opinion, it was my favourite.
It was my favourite.
The numbers looked sick. Yeah. I loved Maverick with the yellow number. Yep. Elise with the silver number. Primo, well done, Aprilia. That was...
If Bastianini didn't go 1-1, that was 100% MJ Trading Cards performance of the week. It was just Aprilia.
100%. 100%.
It looked gross.
Actually, back on Yamaha, how are they getting all the crew into the old school coveralls and stuff?
True. Again, Castrol did the same thing.
Yep.
I want one of them shirts. They looked awesome.
Yeah. I want one of the caps, like you said.
Yeah.
That like was really cool.
Michelin ones and that.
Repsol, again, we were way off. We went for a Repsol livery.
Eddie Lawson, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, Fast Freddy.
Oh, Freddy Spencer, yeah. Sorry. Dave Shaw. Pod favourite, Dave Superbike Shaw. My dad picked it. Let us know about it as well.
He did pick it. Well done, Dave. And was pretty quick to throw a photo up in the group chat, which I'm very privileged to be added into. So, Dave, if you're listening, thank you very much. I shed a tear of joy. That was two in a week because he added me.
Yeah.
And a couple of days later, I got put in the group chat. So
that's when you know you made the big leagues.
Yes, 100%. But I could see him commenting on all the Dainese posts and stuff. And I'm sure for a lot of those guys, it would have been really cool to see that.
Yeah.
Because that would have been what they got into the sport with. Yeah. And I think Honda did a ripper job. Oh, they were probably equal with Aprilia.
Same. For me, they were equal for Aprilia. It looked great. And a small thing, they even had like the old school Repsol logo on the bottom of the bike. So it was, wow, that was cool. I'd like, if they just stayed like that, I'd be so happy with that.
Yeah, I know. You know what? Next year they might have to go to a similar.
Oh, yeah. They're not far off it just with their normal like testing liveries and everything like that. And people forget when Doolin won his first title, they didn't have a major sponsor, Honda. It was blue, white and red, or red, white, blue, whatever it is. And then after he won the title, Repsol jumped on.
Yeah. So, yeah, credit to Honda. That was amazing. Credit to Dainese, those suits. Primo.
Yeah.
Pramac, Castrol, green, white. We called that.
Yeah.
LCR, we couldn't. We assumed they were just going to copy it, which they basically did.
Yeah.
Again, you can never go past the Castrol.
Yeah.
It did look pretty good. Trackhouse, we said... A NASCAR livery.
Yeah, true. That would have been cool. But I liked what they did. It was a good homage.
Yeah, it was. It was really, really cool to see all the OG Americans on there.
Too bad that those bikes lasted about half a lap.
Dude, I didn't even... Did they replay what happened?
No. They kept... there was that many messages about how they just didn't replay it. And it looked like a nasty crash.
I know.
It looks like a real nasty crash.
Yeah, interesting one. A shame they didn't last long, though.
Half a lap, seriously. Good homage to the Americans.
Yeah, it was. It was a nice touch considering they're only new to the sport.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. It
wasn't too bad. Gas, we've got written old school logo. Were we right on that one?
I guess I just kind of went, they followed like the KDM route, went white. It was all right.
Yeah, nothing crazy. Grissini, old school.
Yeah.
Stock standard, we knew that was going to happen. I love the silver tank this time.
Yep.
And how they use that bubble writing across the leathers and on the side, Desmo, like.
If we hadn't have seen that one already, like just about, it would have been the god best. Tier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it still can be.
Yeah.
You know, it still can be. VR46, we had Nastro in the yellow.
Anything would have been better than that atrocity.
Yeah.
It wasn't it's even old school.
2018. What was his last year, wasn't it? Was it?
Nah, it was when he was on Movie Star. They compared it to the Movie Star. It was like 2016.
No, it was 2018. That's a 2018 graphic. 2018,
whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was there after that. Yeah, it was disappointing. I liked how they had the 46 on the front.
That was cool.
With the number over the top.
Yeah, I like that.
Again, their leathers probably looked better than what the bike did. Again, Digia with the helmet looked sick.
Too many sponsors. No good.
I think that's what killed some of them were the sponsors. Aprilia was perfect.
Yeah.
Honda, perfect.
Primax looked good. Like, I didn't really...
I completely skipped that. Primax, the Angel Nieto tribute livery. I thought that was really, really good.
Yeah, that was cool.
And it was very funny. I think Jorge Martin posted it. And I don't know if he captioned it or commented on it, saying, like, fuck, finally.
Finally in red.
Red Ducati.
But, yeah, VR46, what's your game? Like, if anyone was going to have the best one, they had so many options to pick from.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. And people
were saying, oh, it can't be, it has to be your manufacturer. But it was off the Yamaha.
That's right. It was basically his helmet design slapped on a bike. So, and with the little teaser that they put, because they had such a big like container full of that yellow, I thought, oh, we're on. Like,
yeah,
this is going to be brilliant. You know, seeing the red behind it as well.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, no, this is...
If they did like a, yellow and red of the old school sun and moon, would have been happy.
Oh.
It's an old school sun and moon.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know, maybe it was...
Too busy, well, I don't know what he was smoking,
man.
Something. Must have got some of KP's fucking special sauce.
KP, where's he gone?
But yeah, seriously. Not happy.
But no, we did well, I thought.
Yeah, it was good.
Most of them were pretty good.
I really hope they do like a... Because they got a really good reception. I really hope they do a retro round every year.
Similar to footy. Footy does retro round every year now,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, yeah. And like, you know, it doesn't have to be England. You can do Misano one year, Magello, yeah, or Philip Arm, whatever. And change it up. It'd be really cool.
100%. A lot of the helmets looked good.
Yeah. Digi's helmet was cool, the Rossi Shelby.
Yeah, it was. I loved Gardner's one with the Marlboro.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he went all out. That was sick. Yeah, man, it was awesome.
Nah, happy. It was a good weekend. Loved it.
It was.
The vintage MotoGP start promo was cool. Did you see that?
Yes, that was cool.
It is cool. Like, since MotoGP, I feel like since this year, since kind of Dorna's, they're trying to keep up with F1, I guess, to a degree. They're 100%. Kind of Dorna's F1 promo packages, but it's cool. It works. Doing retro stuff like that, it works. Like, that's what the people want.
It definitely does, and it seems to be drawing more and more people to the sport.
Yeah, they love
seems it. To be. I'm finding more and more of it on my Instagram, just going through random reels and stuff.
Yeah,
and it's really starting to pick up, which is awesome. It's what we want.
Yeah,
you know,
just get to the crowd. Get to the crowd. Get to the race, England.
Yeah,
seriously,
that's the biggest problem. Yeah. But you know, we're probably the catalyst for that. Getting more people involved.
Yeah, that's true. That is us. You know? We got a lot of followers and listeners out of England, funny enough, and Northern Ireland, especially after the Cam Donald
one.
Yeah, went off over there.
Shout out Cam.
Yeah, good friend of the pod.
What a legend. You got anything else on GP? Nah. James, I don't really have any other anything interesting.
Nah, the only other thing I've got is Rins signed for another 2 years.
Yes.
I like that. And India signed for the next 3 years. So get ready for some food poisoning, all the riders and teams.
Yeah, all cancelled races.
All cancelled races. But that's the only news I got.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
So if you haven't heard that, then you've heard it from us.
You've heard it here first.
Moto 2. Give us the results, big dog.
Do you watch the race? You obviously watch race?
Fuck yeah, I watch the race.
Pains me to say this.
Your best mate.
Jake Dixon first. Aaron Canet. Celestino Vietti, Sergio Garcia, Manu Gonzalez, Darren Binder, Jeremy Alcoba, Albert Arenas, Alonso Lopez, and Senna Aegis rounding out the top 10.
Shout out, Senna Aegis.
Good race, man, I thought.
Yeah, he did well.
Wasn't too bad at all.
Now, let me just say this. It was a lap to go, two laps to go, Canet was leading. Dixon was hot on his tail, and I was thinking of you, and I was like... If you want anyone in front of you for a lap to go, it's Aaron Canet. First corner. Granted, good move.
Great move.
Great move. It surprised him. And, you know, you can sneeze and it'll surprise Aaron Canet and you'll fumble the ball. Like, seriously. And then that was it. He just rode away with it. And it was a great move, a ballsy move into that first corner. But I was like, seriously, Aaron Canet, what are you doing, bro? Like, he loves finishing second.
Oh, doesn't he ever? Credit to Jake Dixon, man. That was a brilliant move.
It was.
I was watching that going, spewing. I was livid.
You would have cracked it.
Yelling at that TV. I was like, come on, Canet. I was like.
Never been such a Canet fan in your life.
Dude, I went and bought all of his merch. But when he ran away with it, I was like, you know what? Credit to him. He did deserve that win. And it was great to see him win in his home crowd.
Yeah.
The worm and the Conor McGregor walk.
Oh, it's so... The Conor McGregor
take a few points off.
Yeah, it's so gay. Like, just at least come up with your own thing.
Legit. You know, the worm, whatever, that can be your thing.
His interview was cringe as well.
I thought it was going to be worse. I was like, I'm going to punish myself here and watch this interview.
Yeah, I had to do that as well. I had to punish myself.
I was like, because this is either going to make me, like, stay up till 4 a.m, absolutely fuming.
Fighting them demons.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
With what this guy's going to say. I know it. I was working myself up. Yeah. I was like, wow, He wasn't a complete toss bag.
Just 50% toss bag.
Mate, you know what? I'll give him 40.
Far
it wasn't
out.
That bad.
You're a changed man. You're a changed man lately, Daniel.
Oh, no, give
Daniel.
It to next week when he, like, in stacks or something or, you know, takes
or
someone
wins
out.
Again.
If he wins again, it'll be crazy. But, no, credit to him. Great move. Hats off, Jake Dixon. That's the only probably time I'll be nice here. Or if I meet you, I'll be like, oh, Jake.
But I want to get older than you, mate.
Yeah. Oh, I love the way you ride.
You speak really well.
Yeah. You're not a flog. I didn't mean it.
Oh, that's so funny. It was good. It was a great move, and it was a credit to him, seriously.
Yeah, especially from last year when he got taken out.
Yeah.
From Darren Binner, who actually had a really good race as well.
Yeah, he did. He had a really good race.
First one in a long time. Dude, Sergio Garcia.
24th to 4th.
What a man.
How good's that?
So he started 16th, got pushed back to 24th.
Yep. I was watching him on the first corner, that helicopter shot.
Yeah.
And I saw him get pushed out wide, and I was like, oh, geez, like, good luck now. Couldn't believe it.
That's right of a kid who's on a mission.
That's, you know what? That could, if it wasn't such a big weekend, that also could have been an MJ performance of the week right there, that ride. Because in Moto2, how many times do you see someone like Alonso Lopez burning tires?
Oh, dude.
And going back to Jake Dixon, I actually read when he calmed down and wasn't being so acoustic, he had a really good interview. And he was saying, you know, he passed, I think, Aaron Canet or someone halfway through the race. And he's just like, my team told me, like, don't burn your tires, be easy on the throttle, pit the bike up real early, just play it cool. And he did that, and then he saved his tire, and then obviously got repassed, saved his tire, and then shoved up the inside to win the race. And I thought, man, maybe that's a changed man. But to do Garcia to then do that from 24th, somehow go through the field, and then not just burn that rear tire, which would be so easy at Silverstone, any track really, and then just to hold his own, and then almost get third.
It wasn't far off. He was
who pipped him for third again? Vietti. Yeah, he had a good on him as well. He's come back.
Yeah, he had a great race too. I thought he.
It's good to see the bloody Italians coming back through again. We need them.
Yeah, 100%. You know, he sort of fell away and then chipped away back at it. It's a shame, Joe Roberts, man.
I know. I couldn't believe he crashed.
Same corner as Arbolino.
Yeah.
No, different corner. I think. Sorry.
Arbolino had a wild crash as well because he looked like he just got out of shape and then just threw it. It was a weird crash. Like, he was like tank slappering into the corner and then just lost the front.
Yeah, and then Roberts had a pretty fast crash. I was spewing, man. Like, he looked so good. Moreira, another one. Like, they were all racing really, really well, and then just silly little mistakes, and that's cost Joe Roberts big time.
Massive. He's just lucky Aiguro got 14th and had a stinker because he just burnt. Something happened to him. He burnt his rear tire.
He fell away like anything.
I thought he was going to win that race, to be honest.
Oh, I thought once he hits the front here, see you later, that's it.
In true Aiguro fashion, you can really, he could really stamp his authority on the championship. 14th.
Yeah.
Cracks on the pressure.
Typical. Dude, how's Fermin Aldeguer?
I know. Didn't even get the points, did he? Or did he get 12th or something? I think it was 12th.
He finished 12th, so he got 4 points. But I don't all weekend, man.
Like, I don't get it. I don't get it with him. He's the biggest cock tease out of them all.
He might seriously be the king of fraud watch.
Yeah. Well, maybe he trains with Maverick Vinales.
Probably.
Yeah.
Big chance.
Yeah. It actually is, like, truthfully, it's actually a big chance.
But, you know, people go, oh, it's harsh. It might be like, oh, it's harsh one race. But he hasn't lit the world on fire. We keep saying it. Like, was this the wrong call or too much of an early call from Ducati?
Well, imagine if Ducati put Fermin in, does nothing, put Marquez in, do nothing, and then you got Martin and the Beast.
Running riot, you're gone.
How crazy is that? You know, then you're really just, we're just waiting on Pecco to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
But then Pecco still has to learn off everyone else's data. Like, they all share data. That's the whole reason why Ducati does so well.
They're relying on 3 to 4 guys.
It's a big if, though.
It's a huge if, but they're relying on, as you said, Pecco, Mark, Fermin, and the way he's going, you have to throw Digi in there.
Yeah. They're relying on a factory bike.
They're relying on 4 people.
Mm.
If 2 of them don't work out, or you can say 3. Let's say 3.
Mm.
If one of them doesn't work out, or even 2 of them, like you said, they've really shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. God, I love MotoGP.
It's so good.
But
no, you're right. You go.
I was just going to say, Moto2. So I say it every week. It's so healthy. It's good racing.
I love it. It's such a good category. I always say it, the field is stacked.
It is.
And guys are just getting better. Like, yes, Moreira threw it down the road, but the dude's a rookie. Like,
he's doing well. He's doing really well.
He's fighting up the front. You know, when Lopez is making these crazy-ass moves, it is just so good to watch. Like, you know, as you said, Garcia carving through from 24th. Darren Binder having a good race.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Alcoba's almost the new Gonzalez, finishing in like that 6 to 10 mark all the time.
Senna Aegis has really done well the last few rounds. Never been a Silverstone, I don't think. So, just a bit of a standard Motorsport Republic technical difficulties.
As I was saying, congratulations to Senna. He's signed another deal.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's awesome.
Which is great to see. Thoroughly deserved.
Nah, doing really good.
Mm.
The Aussies in Moto3, Moto2 are doing great. And you know, Moto2 very, very hard field already, and to have top tens, be racing up in 6th, 7th, 8th, and Sachsenring as well. Tracks that he hasn't been to, it's really good to see.
It's unreal, man. He's doing a fantastic job. Keep it up. And he'll be up there soon rather than later, man.
Mm.
There was a good interview with him with good friend Renita and Fox Motorsports.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about how he's playing it out in his head, his Phillip Island round, and he's going to have a good result.
Yeah.
And I love hearing stuff like that. So obviously we'll be down there cheering him on, and fingers crossed that can come to life. But plenty more races in between for some good results for him.
Definitely. And going into those Asian rounds as well, I think he might have raced in some of those tracks when he went up through. I'm pretty sure he said he went up through Asia Talent Cup when he was speaking to him in that. So he might know a bit of those tracks at the same time.
100%. Couple big high sides too.
Yeah. Mario Rachi, whatever his name is, on Idemitsu, flung himself.
Somkia Chantra, you mean? Oh, yeah, no. Yes.
Yeah.
They both did, didn't they?
It's racist, mate. You got them mixed up.
Kampa. I'm not going to say that. I'll say that for Patreon now. Didn't they both launch themselves to the moon? Or was it Massia that also launched himself?
Massia did. Maybe a few did.
Yeah.
It's one of those tracks, though. It can, like, suck you in and then spit you out at the same time.
100%.
And it's so wide, Silverstone.
Mm. Especially on those things. As you mentioned, on a GP bike, you can take different lines, but especially those, you can throw them anywhere. And power comes down real quick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was it for that I had for...
I'm happy with that, mate.
Moto2.
What do we got for Moto3?
Moto3.
Could be one of the best races I've ever seen. That Moto3 Silverstone race was incredible.
It'd be close too, man. And you know what? I was almost going to say to you before the pod, Kelso for performance of the week.
I know. He had a good run. He just got beaten up at the end.
Dude, he had his nose cut off, I reckon, 3 or 4 times in those last 6 or 7 laps.
It's so close. Like, I don't know how they do it where they just... It's millimetres, man. There's millimetres of difference between that rear tyre and that front tyre.
Credit to him, but he fought like an absolute mother effer.
Yeah, he did. And he'd get passed, he'd repass again. Get passed, repass again.
Unbelievable. So good to see.
Yeah.
And really stamped his authority. And for the first time in a long time, like, you know what, stuff you guys, I'm here to play as well.
Yeah.
So.
Qualified in the front row.
Yep. So credit to him, man. That was a cracking race. But let's get up some results for it. What do we got here? Even Ottola first. David Alonso, Colin Vaya. Came from the clouds.
He's the one to watch, Colin Vaya. He's your man. You were on him from a year and a half ago.
Yep, on him early. Danny Holgado, Stefano Nepa, Rusei Yamanaka, our boy Joel Kelso, Adrian Fernandez, Jose Antonio Rueda, and Tatsuki Suzuki.
And the other Aussie, Jacob Rulestone.
Jacob did well to come back and finish in 17th, all things considered.
Admitted his mistake and took out David Munoz. Don't know why David Munoz is angry. He's taken out the field 3 times over. So
bro, he carried on like a pork chop. I was like, is this guy normal? He's bashed Every single person to come through Moto3.
I saw him carrying on. I'm like, you got no leg to stand on, bro.
No way, man. I was like, this guy can't. You cannot be serious, man.
Oh, spewing butt. But he had such a wild first lap, Jacob. And then he goes just running wide, and then that happened. I was like, far out, because he qualified sixth.
Yeah, man, he had a ripping weekend too.
Yeah, so it would have been cool to see two Aussies up. But that's just learning. That's racing. It's his first year.
And he said that it's all a learning curve.
I think he went into that corner shift. He was in fifth, and he accidentally shifted to sixth.
Yeah,
and then not obviously down. So it's just one of those things.
It is what it is, man.
If you're gonna take out anyone, it's Munoz.
Yeah, exactly right. If anyone deserves to be, it's him.
Yeah.
But credit to him to come back, finish 17th. Like he said in his post, he's still learning. It's only his first year. Yep. He's got plenty to go, man.
That's all right.
And he's already shown his pace halfway through a season, having some good results through your free practice sessions, putting it on the second row in quali. He's due for a big result, man. And
yeah, coming in the second half of the year, and then obviously next year as well, is going to... he's one to watch, and even the commentators are really
man, they love him. Yeah, they get around him. So I think once he has a few good top sixes, top fives, a couple podiums, he'll start to really come into his own and be a bit of a savage. So it'll be really good to see.
Ivan Antola looked good for crazy weaving down the back straight. Lucky he didn't get penalised for that.
Yeah, they don't like that, the stewards there.
They used to do that a lot back in the day. You remember that. You'd watch any Moto 125 CC race or early maybe Moto 3s. Weaving was just normal, but I remember it was so noticeable now.
It really is, especially when you got a big, a wide track.
Yeah.
They just go each way and every way. So.
But going into that last lap and then that last chicane, there was just six riders going for it. And I saw David Alonso and I'm like, oh, surely it's all over if that little Colombian man, seriously. Colin Vaya as well.
Give him a sniff.
Oh, man, yeah, he's sniffing all right. And it was incredible. What a race, seriously.
Man, it was unbelievable.
I can't even talk about it. I can't even do it justice. You haven't seen it, you got to watch it.
Yeah, you do. That. If you were going to bring someone into MotoGP, that is the race you would show them.
It's the best racing in Moto 3 is the best racing in the world and has been for with 125s for 25 years.
Yeah, and you've said that all along.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a few people jump on board, they message us saying, best racing by a mile.
Yeah, it is. It just and it's fearless kids on equal machinery and people always talk about speed, where speed's not everything. They're not the fastest bikes. They go, 220 Ks an hour max, whatever it is. But the racing is just, Jesus. I was sweating watching it.
Yeah, it was crazy. I thought, man, there's going to be a massive pile up at one stage. I thought someone in eighth or ninth is going to win this race because they're just going to take each other out.
That's right. My old man used to say when we'll watch it back in the day, going into the last lap, it's going to end in tears. Someone's going to be on the floor. Normally it is. But
yeah, 100%. That's a good point. But... crazy, man. And you can really see, as you said, it's not all about that speed. Yes, you're smaller and lighter. You do bridge that gap. Mm. But those guys that are a bit taller or a bit heavier, man, they're demons on the brakes. And they just make up that ground quickly.
You can see it. It's so visible.
It's insane. 50 races for Joel Kelso as well.
Yeah, he's doing good. It's really awesome.
50 races for Ortola. So
he's having a good year.
Not a bad birthday present as well.
Yeah.
Race win, 50 races. It's a good milestone. 100 races for Ricardo Rossi. And how's this? Alonso's first time on the podium, that wasn't a win.
Really?
How crazy.
That's a crazy stat.
Yeah. So I can't remember if they said if it was this year or his whole career, but that's nuts.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Either way, if it's for his career or year, that's insane.
He's just so threatening, man.
Dude.
Whenever you see him, it's the same thing every race. Six for 20 laps. And in the last three laps, he just picks off three riders just like that. It's nothing.
It's crazy. Colin Vyce sort of channeled a bit of that this week.
He had a taste of thunder when I think he got on the podium. When he was on the podium, he wasn't happy.
Yeah.
He was not happy.
No, he wasn't. But it's racing, man.
It's racing. Those little Spanish kids. But I think I said it in the group chat. I was like, fuck me, they're so aggressive.
Yeah, they are. But it's awesome. It's what we love to see.
Yeah, it's what it's got to be.
Did you see Piqueras' high side?
Yeah, I did see that.
Moto 3 bike, that's odd.
Yeah, I know.
You don't see that too often.
Nah, it's not often, but
then poor Scott Ogden.
I know.
They're coming off second best. Pod
favourite follows us, Scott Ogden. Gets around some of our stuff.
Yeah, I hope he's listening to the episode.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate, man. You never want to go out in your home race.
And then last year at Silverstone, he stalled on the front row. And he had to start at the back of the grid.
That's right,
poor guy.
Yes.
The commentators brought that up. I'm sure he loves that.
That's a home race curse.
Yeah, isn't it ever? But nah, it's Moto 3, you got to love it. I'm very happy.
It's the best racing by a mile.
All right, Dan, it's that time. It's that time of the week. Everyone's favourite. Curdy, what do we got? You know what it is. It's hot takes, mate. It's your burning questions. It's your hot takes. This is what people contribute to the show. They give us their shameless opinions, right or wrong. We want to hear them. And you know what?
Nine times out of ten, they're wrong, but.
Nine times out of ten, they are wrong. Before that, you know what I'm going to get up? Let's get up Tom's long-awaited thoughts on these his hot takes on the liveries. All right, so let me play this.
Please, T-Shabs, all the way from Coral Bay, WA, middle of nowhere. Special liveries this week. Can't run in practice, can't run in qualifying, only Sunday. Don't know about that one. Boring. Aprilia is probably the standout. Yeah, but, you know, is it actually that good? What's the next one? Yeah, KDM. I like the white, not too bad. But BR46, what a disappointment. Anyway, back to the normal liveries from the upcoming rounds. Looking forward to that.
That's a man who knows nothing about the history of MotoGP.
That man's got no idea. You need to take a bath. Seriously. The only thing he got right out of all that we haven't spoken about is they didn't run it through practice.
Yes, ridiculous. 100%. That was stupid.
That was a dumb move. But come on, man. Boring on all of them. How dare you?
Do you think that was a sponsorship thing, not running them through practice?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think.
It makes the most sense, hey?
But no one cares about your dumb sponsors. Just let us have something for a weekend.
100%, man.
If
you're going to do it, do it properly.
I actually want to drink Monster now because they moved their logo But I'll never buy a Lenovo in my life now. That's how it works. I'll never buy a Lenovo laptop in my life.
Well, speak to our resident producer about Monster Energy drinks and all those kinds of things. He loves
them. Yeah, Curdy, give us a rundown on Lenovo. You know computers as well. And
and Monster Energy drinks.
Yeah. Well, what do we got?
What, Monster Energy drinks?
Yeah, they good?
They're all right. Mother's a bit better, I find.
I mean, don't say that, mate. We're trying to get a sponsorship, all right?
That's all right. Hey, if they bring back the raspberry flavour, the black and purple can, I'll have it immediately.
What about Lenovo laptops? They shit house?
Some are. Some are pretty good.
Nah, they're the worst, mate. They're the worst.
You're just looking at the wrong ones, mate.
Nah, what I'm looking at, they're stupid sponsor on the Ducati. It's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, no, it looked pretty terrible.
Good.
It actually even ruined Pecco's championship helmet replica because they got it right smack bang on the top and just, even through the chin piece.
It's too much. You're throwing it down my throat. I don't care about your stupid laptop.
Yeah.
Just, you can have it on there. Normal bloody every other rounds, 21 out of 22 rounds. Just give us something
just
like
take
Monster.
It off. Yeah. Let's just move it.
Change the font or something. Like, God, we know what your stupid laptop is.
The funny thing is, Tom's actually back from holiday. We just didn't call him back into the studio, you know.
He's still waiting at the airport. Tom will pick him up. Sorry, bro. All right, hot takes. Let's get this going. This actually leads into it perfect. We've already spoken about it, but at Ty Choplas, fucking shame Ducati didn't have the balls to put the Marlboro logo on the bike.
Bro, 100% it's a shame.
Get it going, and everyone smoke some cigarettes. Look at our story. It's Marlboro and cigarettes. That's what it's all about.
Make racing great again.
Oh, don't you dare. Don't you dare. I like that. At LA Earth 91. Cool name. Will Remy Gardner race for Pramac Yamaha next year?
As much as I did say that he would.
Yep.
And as much as I would love that, it's looking like they're going for a Moto2 rider.
Sergio Garcia?
No. So Garcia will stay. And it's either going to be Roberts or Arbolino.
Ooh. Who would you rather have?
I'm a big Tony fan.
I know you are, but you're a big Roberts fan.
But you know what? Give me Joe Roberts. Mm. I'd love to see an American back in MotoGP.
You
got to have an American in MotoGP.
They got a fucking American team and they're right up across.
Exactly. You know, and it obviously plays into the hands of Liberty Media now, but taking away from that, Joe Roberts.
Yeah.
They're just cool characters, man.
They are.
And that's nothing away from Arbolino. He's a pretty, funny dude and, you know, pretty good characteristics and all that kind of jazz. But, yeah, give me Joe Roberts.
Mm. I like it. I like it. Arbolino, I would have said 2 years ago, but his problems of riding, his struggling of riding around problems is the issue. And then if you're riding a MotoGP bike where there's always issues and always development and you have to always ride around certain things.
100%.
And you're jumping onto a new tyre, jumping on the Michelin, not the Pirelli.
So what do you think about Remy?
I think it would be really cool if it was there. I would love that. Obviously, he's a bias for an Aussie and, you know, we kind of know him and have done a pod with him.
Yeah, great guy.
Great guy. Really, really nice guy. But, yeah, like, I don't know. It's a tough one.
It is.
I can see why they would run Roberts or Arbolino.
Yeah.
It's a safer bet.
It was interesting, though. He came out and said this weekend he was there for testing purposes.
Mm.
So maybe they are.
Yeah, you never know. Back.
You don't know. It's
I wouldn't be mad.
No, not at all. Not at all.
We've got a bit of a Casey Stoner theme, actually. We've had a few Casey Stoner messages randomly. At Santi Blady Mir. Casey Stoner is the only rider to not only beat but also dominate Rossi at his prime. That's a hot take.
That is a hot take. That Ducati was head and shoulders above everything else.
True.
And so was that Honda.
He beat Rossi as well when Rossi was on the Ducati. But I'd also argue Lorenzo beat him at his prime.
Beat Rossi?
Mm.
Yeah, 100%. I'd probably go for that over the Stoner one.
Mm. I think, not cheeseburger, I think Stoner's natural ability is probably equal best of Marc Marquez in my opinion. But I think Lorenzo also beat Rossi in his prime.
I think so. Equal machinery.
Yeah.
Enough anyway. But yeah,
dominate, I guess he's saying, yeah. But yeah, I think Lorenzo, yeah.
Yeah, dominate's probably the wrong word.
Mm.
He beat him for sure, and he beat him in a prime year. But for me, that bike was that much better. Both bikes were. And you had Rossi on a Ducati the second time round. If Rossi had been on Yamaha still, would he have beaten him? Probably. But it would have been a lot closer.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? With that one, because Stoner in 2011 when he won dominated that season.
He did, that's what I'm saying.
Like, he destroyed everyone.
He still would have probably won that championship comfortably, but it would have been a lot closer.
Yeah, okay, is that what you meant? Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, not saying Rossi would have won it or Lorenzo or anyone else. It just would have been a closer
battle
on the track.
I agree with that, definitely.
Yeah.
Again, Casey Stoner at Jack Giles. Potential number one ticket holder there. How many titles do you think Stoner would have won if he didn't retire at such a young age? I don't know if he would have won any more. He maybe would have won one more, maybe, but I think Marquez just gets into everyone's mind.
Yeah, I don't think he wins another one.
Mm.
And
That's a hard question, isn't
it? His biggest problem was he seemed to be, from the outside looking in, easily defeated.
Yeah, and I think the racing's not the issue. I think it's the media circus. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Which I think he's admitted.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. He says he doesn't like it.
And then if he's not having fun doing it, then good luck.
Yeah, exactly. You're there for no reason. You're collecting a paycheck at the end of the day.
It's so funny, right, because it's such a changing in the guard of Stoner and Marquez where you would love to see them race each other, but we had the exact same thing in 99, 2000, the changing in the guard of Doohan and Rossi. Isn't that funny how it works?
It is.
Such sliding doors moments.
It really is. That would have been a good one to see.
Bloody oath. Bloody oath. At It's Cold Papa. Also, getting around us. Do you think Grassini's test livery might be the best livery seen in the modern MotoGP era? I'm going to say absolutely not. Grassini's test livery is when Marquez was in Valencia is what I'm getting at.
Nah, there's been better test liveries.
It is that better liveries?
Oh, just in general?
Yeah.
Oh, nah. Dude, going just off a test livery, you look at Iannone's Target Suzuki.
Yeah, that was cool. I like Stoner's Aussie flag one when he first jumped on the Honda. He had the kangaroo on there, looked cool for the stars.
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
was it all black? White?
It was all white with like a red kangaroo and the Southern Cross stars.
I don't remember that. I have to look it up.
That was a cool one.
There's been some other... a lot better looking testing liveries.
What are you doing? It's Cold Papa. What are you doing? Shit house. At Nicky D 3604.
Nicky D.
He's sent in some good questions over these past few months.
Finally got him on.
Yeah, I like his questions. Who deserved a title more? This is a good one. Pedrosa or Dovi? That's such a good question. For me, I'll answer this first. Pedrosa. Because I think he almost would have won titles if he hadn't been taken out and broken collarbones.
Oh, it's so tough. They both basically raced at a very, very similar time.
Mm.
Obviously, Dovi a few years later.
They came in at a similar time, though. Dovi came in what, 07?
08 was his first year.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I think I keep getting that mixed up.
On that JIR Scott Silver. That was so sick, very, man.
And Pedrosa was only 2 years before that, 06.
True. So they were around for a similar period of time.
Dovi was up there more consistently, obviously. Not Dovi, Pedrosa.
Dovi was a journeyman too, man. He went to a lot of teams.
Yeah.
Well, Pedrosa only stayed with one team though.
Yeah. Pedrosa was still counted as one of the aliens.
Yeah, he was. Oh, it's a tough one, man.
It's a good question. It's a great question.
There's so many things to take into account, like race starts as well. Dovi's second all time.
Versus the results, look, though.
Probably Pedrosa. Pedrosa, yeah. It'd have to be.
Yeah.
He was definitely that part of that alien crew, and I don't know if he would have won one if he didn't get taken out, but
he, and again, Pedrosa's another one where he raced prime everyone.
He did. He got the raw end of the stick.
Yeah. He really did.
But, and it's funny because obviously Dovi was there at that same time, but then Dovi encountered prime Marquez.
Yeah, like 2019 Marquez. You know, good luck.
Exactly.
You know.
So
2014 Marquez won the first 10. When's that going to happen again?
Never. Yeah, it's a tough one, but I'm with you. Pedrosa, just though. Very tight. That's probably the best hot take.
Yeah, it's a great one, isn't it? He's had a few good ones. I've read him out a few times.
Nicky D.
We all. Okay, time for redemption for It's Cold Papa. Do you think if Suzuki was still in MotoGP, they would be ahead of Aprilia or KTM or neither? I think there would be neither. I don't think they'd be ahead of them because they're all still in inline four and they're doing no aero. They're doing not much aero development.
Yeah, but it wasn't really detrimental though, was it? Their top speed lacked and that was just about it.
I reckon their last year, they were subpar. When was their last year? 2022?
They won two of the last three races.
Yeah, that's because everyone else fell asleep.
Come on, bruh.
And I love Suzuki. But I think they'd be KTM.
They'd be just behind KTM.
Mm.
It wouldn't be far, it'd be just.
Mm. They wouldn't be in a Honda situation, that's for sure.
I think they'd be a lot better than Yamaha too.
Yeah, so that's where I'm tossing up because they're a similar kind of project with Yamaha. But I think I wouldn't be surprised if they're at least equal with KTM or a little bit better, maybe. Because KTM are nowhere at the moment. But I think KTM's got a better bike as the riders.
Yeah, I think they're just struggling.
Yeah.
And you've got a young kid with the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Correct.
Like way too much pressure and expectation.
That's right. But that's a good question. I like that.
Great question. Good. That was very redeeming.
Yeah, I like that. Well done. At the _ Rallo, Marquez and the World Ducati Week incident is the most stupid thing he has ever done in his career. And I'll add on to this, Francois _ Coetzee 888. Did Marc Marquez screw the pooch when he sent Bulaga into the kitty litter?
Well, Ducati haven't commented on it. So they know something's wrong.
What do you think of that incident?
I think it's a silly incident. And for him to come out and say, oh, but on my Ducati GP23, I would have made that move. Well, hold on, idiot.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Like, oh, I didn't realize I was on a super. How do you not realize you're on a fucking superbike? There's two completely different things.
That's the funniest.
Well, that's what baffles me. And I'm like, you're a goose. Like, you're a dead set goose. I get it. It's a, you know, white line fever. And I fully understand that. A race is a race.
Yeah.
Right? But come on, man. Like, he could have seriously injured this guy who's somewhat fighting for a championship. Mm. Like, it was just a dumb move. It didn't need to happen.
Dumb move.
Like, he probably would have got him on the cutback anyway or on the race to the line. Like, stupid.
I love it.
The thing that gets me most is Ducati haven't commented, so they know something is wrong. And for him to come out and go, oh, but I thought I was on my GP bike. You're an 8-time world champion. Like, get your shit together.
It's so funny that he's done that and then Bastianini and Martin's gone 1 and 2.
Like, I know.
Like, he couldn't make this stuff up.
I know. I think for him the biggest thing was, and again, I read this somewhere, the fact that it's all equal machinery and you're getting beaten by Iannone and Bulliger.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, very interesting. But, you know, they also spin a trillion laps around there. And how serious do you... Obviously, he still takes it pretty serious because he punted Bulliger. That's the funniest, man. That's so funny. I love it. Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's the right thing to do, but I love it.
Yeah, of course.
At Matt Ould _, another number one ticket holder contender. I like this. What's your thoughts on a top 10 shootout for quali, one lap, like Bathurst for MotoGP or F1?
I don't mind it.
I love it for both. I think MotoGP's qualifying's already good, but it would be cool to see. I think Superbikes should bring it back.
Yeah, they should.
But one lap, just there's something about when they just go out and it's just them on the track and they got to just pull in a hot lap. I think that's the best way to do qualifying.
No toe, no nothing.
No toe, no nothing.
And that was a big talking point this weekend. Yeah. And I have to tend to agree with Pecco. Like, if you're quick, you'll like the top 10 guys should be doing laps on their own.
Yeah.
No, he came out and said that. Mm. And look at Aleish. Yeah. Punch that lap in, no one around him.
I don't think there should be a toe, but if there's no rule to do it and you're just trying to get any 10th you can, I understand why they do
100%,
it.
Yeah, 100%. But if someone rolls out, just keep going. Don't follow them off. Like, it's frustrating for a spectator too.
Yeah.
You know, it ruins a qualifying session.
It's a good point.
But yes, good take.
I like it. I'm all for a top 10 shootout.
Yeah,
I think that's the way to do it.
Good work, Matt.
And for motorsport lovers, if you watch Bathurst or you know what Bathurst is, you don't know what it is, good touring car, V8 supercar racing in Australia, that top 10 shootout for Bathurst is probably the best qualifying session you can watch.
Mm.
In any race, in any motorsport. At Paul Vallo 73. So, what's he saying? So, say what you want about Ducati, but their commitment to racing is unparalleled.
Yeah,
completely agreed.
Yeah, totally agree.
They're fully invested. When they release bikes, it's at World Ducati Weeks with all their races, MotoGP, like it's right there. It's got all the MotoGP techs around it. You can see that they develop a bike around a MotoGP bike. I don't see any other manufacturer doing that.
No, 100%. They are born and bred for racing and they're really showing that now and proving that to the world.
Yeah.
You know, getting Pecco to launch that bike.
Yeah.
You know, very reminiscent of what Honda were doing when Marquez was winning.
Yeah.
Producing great bikes and getting him, you know, getting their top guy to push it all.
Yeah, that's what they need to do.
You know, this World Ducati Week would almost draw... I reckon it would draw bigger numbers in a superbike event.
Yeah, I wouldn't be... It'd be interesting to see the numbers between those two.
Like, you know, they put on an absolute show. Actually, funny enough, Curtis and I were lucky enough to meet someone that went when we were working together. And they said it's one of the best events they've ever been to.
Yeah,
they've been to a couple overseas races. They reckon that week is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I reckon it'd be very cool.
So, yeah, they're doing it right. And, yeah, they're just... just ahead of the curve at the moment, aren't they?
Yep. They put in the work, so...
Ducati, if you're listening, swing us a few of those new V4s for a test ride. They look sick.
That's right. Get on sponsorship. We can call this the Ducati Panigale V4 hot take segment.
Yeah, legit.
Just to get rid of Lenovo. At Lukey Kappa. Bit of an F1 one. Oscar was more F1 ready than Lando.
Oh, yeah, it's a good call. I did see that come through and I was singing about it. I think that's a great shout, that.
Do you reckon Lando's car wasn't as good when he first hopped into it, though? So he had to drive around a few more problems?
It was still a pretty decent car.
Mm.
I don't think he had to drive through a lot of problems. But it just seems that Oscar's taken to it a little bit easier.
Mindset.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool, calm, collected dude. At Willie_Nels, also one of our number... There's a lot of... A lot of number one ticket holders. This is going to be a tough battle. I don't know how we're going to pick this, actually.
Disappointed if we don't get a few free beers at the Island this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'll help you out. That'll definitely help them out. Happy for Simon Crafer's new job, but sad that I don't know who can replace him for special comments.
Well, what's his name again? The guy that asked?
Willie Nels.
Well, Willie, I'm proud to announce that. No, it's crazy. I mean, they have been getting a young guy to do it. I think on their socials for a few rounds while Simon was out.
Okay.
Doing a bit of the tech stuff.
Okay.
So if you scroll through their reels, guys, I'm pretty sure there is someone else.
In the lineup. That Jack Apiata guy, is it?
Maybe. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, okay.
But seems to be pretty good.
Okay, nice.
Like, fingers crossed. I think it's going to be so hard, but you're never going to get Simon. The guy is just a book of knowledge.
Yeah, he's just a freak and he's been there and done that, so you can relate it back to the 500cc days and all that stuff.
100%. And he's just like exactly like what Cam was talking about TT. Simon is so passionate talking about the tech, and it's the delivery of it is just genuine.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's so genuine. That's a great point.
I think it is going to be hard to replace him, but kudos to whoever does, and I hope they do a good job.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I hope so. That's Jack Giles. Again, they're all coming out of the woodwork.
They're good, aren't they, the boys?
I like this one. What's the best pub to drink at on Phillip Island during race weekends?
Whichever one Motorsport Republic is at.
Great answer. Great answer. You'll see two Shavs from a mile away, double parked, I reckon.
Yeah.
Talking your ear off. But in all seriousness, it used to be the pub on the quarter down the bottom of Cowes, but it got bought by new owners. And it's shit house now.
That's the one down the street.
Nah, on the street. On the corner.
Is the good one.
Nah, no.
No,
good.
No, that's what I'm saying. The good one's down the street.
Yeah, the good one's down the street. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The bigger place, whatever that's called.
Yeah.
Isle of Wight or something like that, maybe it's called. But that's the place I reckon for this year. That's the place to be on the Friday and Saturday night. Definitely. Definitely. The one on the corner used to be awesome. We had some massive, massive nights. Back in the day when me and Tom will go down and we'll meet my old man and all his friends down there. We realized it was like you could go upstairs and there was like a dance floor and that. And we went upstairs. And obviously Tom was probably, I would say, I wouldn't even be exaggerating, 18 beers deep. And my dad's mate jumped on the stage and there was like a scrawny looking Indian dude security guard on the stage, and he was dancing behind him, humping him, and like in front of the whole dance floor. Was the funniest thing ever. And this is like a 50 year old IT guy humping this guy, and he had no idea. And Tom tried to jump up on the stage. He's going to kill me for saying this. You know, obviously he's past his prime. You know, he's not as athletic as he could be.
Athletic prowess has gone downhill.
I'm going to say it's gone downhill. He's got a strong right forearm, and I reckon that's about it. And smashes his, like, it was onto a stage, and it was real sharp edges, smashes his right shin into it. Like, I mean, cut it open in the middle of the dance floor, blood, and he's just like, he just walked it off, and he's like, I'll just deal with it. He said to me, I'll deal with it next week. He's like, I can't let it ruin the weekends. And like, I think he's got a permanent, if you talk to him next time, I think he's got a permanent indent in that arm. He's got a full injury.
What a trooper.
Oh yeah, he went his way through. It was that was funny. So he's literally shed blood in that joint.
That's awesome.
But the place down the bottom, I think, is a place to be.
Yeah. Some of those little bars on the main strip seem to be doing okay, though.
I think they are doing pretty good.
They're doing all right, though. They seem to be jamming. And early in the night, but...
Early in the night, yeah. You got to get into the pub, but... And then, what is there? There's the concert place down the bottom. They do all that. That's all right.
Mm.
It's not bad. I got some funny stories, but I'll...
Come see us there, and James will share them with you.
Yeah, maybe on a Patreon, but we've got some goodies. There's a very, very funny one that... there's no chance I'm saying on here. at @KyleHolmes_07. Mark Marquez won't win another championship from Podfave in South Africa. A few South Africans getting around us as well. I like that.
That's mint.
Look, I'm not there yet, but if he doesn't win next year, and this is from a big Marquez fan.
Huge. Got a couple of his helmets and a lot of his merch.
Yep.
You're a big Marquez fan.
I'm putting a line through him. But I'm not gonna say it yet.
Yeah, look, I don't think he will. I truly believe that he won't. So I would have to agree with that. And I think a lot of people are in the same book. Mm. But you are 100% right. Next year's the barometer.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. At Jake Kreb, how does Liberty Media or GP attract more manufacturers? Example, Kawasaki brings Suzuki back and V-Agusta.
I think on the rule change.
Yeah.
Is when we'll probably see some announcements of, you know, maybe Grassini leaving Ducati or VR46 as Tom's so invested in going to BMW.
Yeah, if anyone's, I think, coming in, it's someone like BMW. I think, unfortunately, and I hate to say it, but I really don't think someone like a Kawasaki or Suzuki is ever coming back.
I don't think they are either.
They don't have that race pedigree in them anymore.
No.
Yamaha and Honda still do, and obviously Ducati and the Italians do. They're leading the way. It's that new era. But I think it's the Europeans.
Yeah, it's really starting to take that turn now, and they're dominating off the racetrack with their road bikes.
Suzuki don't even really develop their road bikes. Are they really develop that much?
Nah, so I was talking to our good friend Ibi.
Yeah.
We were out for a ride the other night talking bikes. And if you compare it to even the new Blade, it's a black and white dash. It's still, you know, it's not as refined.
They still got a Kickstarter on their bloody dirt bikes.
Exactly.
You know?
Kickstarter, Kenny will tell you all about it.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, it just seems that they're not pouring as much as what all the other guys are. Like, as you mentioned, Yamaha, Honda, even Kawasaki still pour a bit of money into their road bikes. But they're pulling out of supers now.
Yeah.
It's Bimota by Kawasaki. Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, I don't see it happening.
You're 100% right. As much as we would love to see all those original manufacturers back, I think you got more chance of seeing BMW come through and then MV Agusta because of that 25%. Curtis, are they still 25% owned KDM? You're all over that, aren't you?
Oh, fuck, actually, I'll have to look at that real quick. How much does KDM own of it now?
I think they're 25%.
Yeah, there's something like that. Is that MV with KDM, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So I would, my first bet would be BMW.
Yeah.
And then MV, which would be amazing to see them back in premium class.
If I could bring anyone back, obviously it'd be Suzuki or Kawasaki. They're very similar manufacturers in how they think, and they even merged their dirt bikes for a year.
Yeah, there you go.
A Suzuki, you could buy a Suzuki and a Kawasaki, and it was the same thing.
KDM has about 50.1%.
Oh, 50.1.
Oh, yeah. Wow, there you go.
They'll do something about it, that's for sure.
Yep.
I like it. The last hot take, second last hot take, sorry. From Bandana Man, hot take, Morbidelli to win a race this year. Four races at Misano, scene of his first win, maybe his best chance. So winning a race maybe at Misano.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad take, actually.
I'd tend to agree.
From Mark Danby.
Super strong there, and it's a couple strong tracks for him coming up. So, yeah, race wins on the cards.
Yeah.
I would say a main race, but it only counts if it's a main race win.
Yeah, it does. We've gone through this. We almost had an episode on this, one of our episodes, debating that.
Good take, though. That's a good call.
That's a very good one. And last one, from one of our pod faves, Stephen Brayshaw. I reckon Pedro had hickeys all over his neck, and that's why he had the neck warmer on all weekend. Summer break and Ibiza romance.
Very big chance.
Wayne's he's parting with the fish.
Dude, how sick is that?
And he was parting with Jorge Martin, and let's be honest, there's no, he can get up and about. I reckon Aleix Espargaró gets up and about as well.
Yeah, he lets his hair down, you know, away from the wife and kids.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good time. I reckon they all do.
That's very funny when he sent that through. I responded and I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a good take. I didn't notice it, to be honest.
No, I'm not normally looking at hickeys and other dudes, but that's all good, Stephen. No worries.
Just keep your distance.
I'm normally giving them.
To other dudes?
Yeah, no, don't worry about it, bro.
Well, you learn something new every episode, guys. And there you go. Maybe next week it might just be me.
Hey, next week, everyone kind of knows anyway, Joel Kelso.
Will be released to the public.
Yep, we'll be releasing that one to the public. So really, really fun talk, that one.
100%, man. And once again, to Joel, thank you, because he literally flew in the night before and he was like super keen to come and see us, and he's been amazing to us, even with all of our technical difficulties on the first pod.
Yep.
Ripper guy. And yeah, It was a really, really good episode.
It was just a funny app.
Exactly like this, you know, a bit different to normal special guest pods where it was basically a recap of the middle of the season.
Yeah, it was pretty chill. Talked about some stuff that maybe wasn't all too racing as well. So now it was a laugh.
It's good.
Easy, mate.
We'll see Tom back after that, will we?
Yeah, Tom will be back.
Well, it depends. See if people message us, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll be happy he wasn't there. Poor big fella.
We miss you, Tom.
Yeah, come back soon, mate. Alrighty, bro.
Sweet, man.
Done.
Thanks, James.
See you later.
See you, dude.